continuing with the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarei Emuna. Everyone got one? Okay, we are continuing with the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarei Emuna. What was the first sticker?
God exists.
Number two? His oneness, that's right. Okay, number three. Hayisod HaShlishi. On the top is the Lashon HaRambam. Shlilus HaGashmius Mimenu. Shlilus HaGashmius means that God is not Gashmius. What does that mean? That God doesn't like a hamburger? What does that mean? He's not physical. V'zehu Shenamin Ki HaEchor HaZeh. This one that we've been discussing, Shezacharnu, Eino Guf V'lo Koach B'Guf. He's not a body. He doesn't have a physical body. V'lo Koach B'Guf. He doesn't have general body qualities. He doesn't have kochos of the guf. V'lo yasiguhu me'oros hagufim. And things that happen to bodies or that affect physical creatures don't occur to him. For instance, kimo, tenua. What's tenua? Anyone know? Tenua is movement. Like movement or menucha, resting, or mishkan, which also means to be in a singular place. Tenua and menucha mean like movement and stopping to move. You know, like to rest and to move. You know, to run and then to relax after running. Mishkan means to have like a dwelling place, like a place where you reside, a specific location. What? Like a mishkan. Lo mitzad atzmo velo b'mikre. He doesn't have any of these things, not part of his essence, meaning his essence is not that he has these things. And it's not even b'mikra that he has these things. I'm going to try to explain. Mikra means chance or happenstance. It's definitely not his essence. It's not his atzmos to have a body. And it's not even chance for him to have a body. And I'll explain what that means in a little bit later. V'lochein, and therefore, shalalu mimenu ha-chachamim. And that's why the rabbis, Chazal, tell us that there's no chibur v'apirud. V'amru, there's no chibur and pirud, meaning there's no idea of him coming together, or of separating, leaving, coming. The Amru Ein Lamala and Chazal tell us, Lo Yeshiva V'lo Amida. Hashem doesn't reside in a place, he doesn't stand anywhere. Lo Oref V'lo Afoy. What does that mean? Lo Oref V'lo Afoy. Kolomar Lo Pirud. He doesn't separate. V'lo Oref V'hu Hachibor. And Oref means to come together. V'lo afoy, this, which means pirud, is miloshen v'afu b'ketef plishtim. Pasuk from Yeshaya, that the word there means to separate. Chlomer yidchafu osam b'ketef l'schabrom b'hem. V'amru ha-navi, and the navi says about Hashem, v'elmi tidamyuni v'eshaveh. To what can you compare me, Hashem says, and I will be comparable. Yomar Kadosh. Rather, I am Kadosh. Ilu hayaguf doma legufim. And I wouldn't be if I was a body like all other things. So Hashem says, I am unique. There's nothing you can compare me to. And I am Kadosh. What does the word Kadosh mean? So that was what I wanted you to say, but that's not what it means. Holy means, Kadosh doesn't mean holy. Kadosh means separate. And when something is separate, it naturally then takes on a certain level of holiness. What does it mean for a husband and wife to be separate, to be kadosh, the relationship between a husband and wife? It means that it's unique and it's only for them. When a husband and wife are faithful to each other, so the relationship is kadosh. What makes it kadosh? Because it's separate. That's why kiddushin is called kiddushin. When you marry someone, it's called kiddushin. Why is it called kiddushin? Because at that point she becomes usher to everyone else in the world. She's separated from everyone else in the world. And that brings kedusha. When you're a machdish an animal, what do you say to it? I'm setting it aside. It's not like a regular animal anymore. It's set aside. Kadosh always comes from being separate and put aside. So Hashem says, I am kadosh. What makes me kadosh? Because I'm unique and not like anything else in the world. That's what makes me kadosh. So we're asked, v'choma shebo b'kisvei kodesh. Oh, you're going to ask me. They're psukim shemit arimoso betare gufos. They describe God using human characteristics, kimo halicha, And it says like the voice of Hashem was walking in Gan Eden. Amida, Yeshiva, Dibor, it says God spoke, God stood, God came down. Ukiyotze b'zeh kol derech ha-she'ela. Whenever the Torah tells us this, it's always b'derech ha-she'ela. What does that mean, derech she'ela? It's metaphor, it's borrowed terminology. It doesn't really mean that. And this is what we're told in Brachos. Dibra Torah kaloshen b'nei Adam. The Torah speaks in human terms. Ukvar dibru ha-chachamim b'zeh inyan harbe. And this is the Yesod HaShlishi, is Mora Lav Mashanemar, the Pasuk that says this, Lo Re'isem Kol Temuna. Hashem says about Himself, you will not see a picture, you won't see an image of Me. There's no image, I am not physical. Lo Esagtem Oso Bal Temuna L'Pishu Kamo Shezacharno En Guf V'Lo Kalach HaGuf. This is the end of the Lashon of the Rambam. This Yesod, like the one before, is something that's very, very hard for us to relate to. We mentioned this last time about the unity of God. What do we mean that the unity of God is something that's very hard to relate to? We said that Hashem has this very unique essence to Him, that He's one, and yet at the same time He's super simple. Everything that we know that's united, that's one, that's unified, is complex. And yet by God He's the ultimate one, and He's the ultimate sophistication in this world, and at the same time He's the ultimate singularity, oneness in the world. Simplicity. Generally, simple and complex don't come together. But by God, God is absolutely one, simple, and at the same time, absolutely complex. And that's something that's impossible for us to relate to. And it could be, I wanted to suggest, that that's the reason why the Rambam in the very beginning links this Yesod to the second, to the one right before, right? If you were to look back at the first line, what does the Rambam say? V'zeu shenamin, we have to believe, ki ha'echad hazeh shezacharnu, this one is Eino Guf. And the reason why the Rambam links this one to the one before is because that's the common theme between the two. That we're speaking now something about God that's impossible for us to really relate to. What does it mean that God doesn't have a body? There's nothing in our world that we can relate to that doesn't have a physical form. Even the things that for many years we thought didn't have a physical form, we now know more about them and we realize that they do. Sound, for instance. For many years, people thought sound was something non-physical. There's nothing physical about sound. You can't touch it. We now know that being able to touch something is not the only definition of things that are physical. We know that you're able to measure sound waves, and there's something very real created by sound that can be measured, that can be captured, that can be modified and impacted. Even sight, we now know, has something to do with something that's created that travels to your eyes. You're aware of that. When something occurs, the fact that you could see this wall is because there are vision waves, light waves, traveling towards your eye that your eye processes, and then your mind reconstructs into an image. Okay? When something happens very, very far away, it takes time until you see it. Now, light travels very quickly, so it travels at 186,000 miles per second. Okay, 186,000 miles, that's like going around Earth many, many times per second. So it's very, very fast. But Lu Yitzuya, something would happen 186,000 miles away, or double that, over 300,000 miles away. If you'd be able to see it, it would take a second or two until you saw it happen. When a guy goes like this with his hand, you wouldn't see it for a second or two. Because light waves have to travel as well. So everything we know of in this world has physical properties to it. And yet God is not physical. I want to explain what I mean by that. I'm not saying, it's not correct to say, oh, God is spiritual like the angels. The angels were also created. Bereishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ves ha-aretz. What are we taught? Es ha-shamayim means everything in the spiritual world. Es ha-aretz means everything in the physical world. It doesn't mean that, right, Es HaShamayim, the heavens and the angels, those are also creations. God had to create that stuff as well. And that also has some type of properties to it. So God, who is beyond space, He's beyond time, right? The angels had to be created at some point. God never had to be created. God always existed. The angels didn't always exist. So God is beyond time. He's beyond space. So there's nothing to measure Him. Sound
even though it seems non-physical, but it's bound by space. It doesn't travel everywhere. It has a limit to where it can travel. It's bound by space to a degree. Light is bound by space to a degree. Angels are creations, which means that they're bound by time. What do I mean that they're bound by time? Because there was a time when they didn't exist. And then they were created. God is beyond space and time. And therefore, God is not even correct to say about God that he's spiritual. He's beyond even what we refer to as spiritual. And therefore, the Rambam thinks it is impossible to say that God has a body. It's just logically impossible. You know why? Because a body, a physical representation of something, limits it to the physical world. To say God has a body means that he is a creation of this world. And God is obviously beyond and transcends our world. And therefore, the Rambam thinks it is impossible philosophically to say that God has a body. There's another point here. We mentioned in our first shiur about the first Iker, that the Rambam says that that Hashem is the Mechuyev HaMetzius, which means everything's existence is dependent upon him, but his existence is not dependent upon anything. Which means that if everything ceases to exist, God doesn't cease to exist. But if God ceases to exist, everything ceases to exist. Right? Remember we spoke about that? So the Rambam here says, seemingly, that you can't have everything be dependent on God's existence, and yet God is a creation of this world. He's a physical being. Because then how could everything else be dependent on him if he takes up space, if he's physical? Being physical means you take up space, right? If I'm standing right here, so Meir can't stand here. He could stand very close, but he can't take up the space I'm in. I'm filling this space. So if everything, every space, everything, every area is completely dependent upon God, God can't be a physical being. And these are some of the physical problems, philosophical problems that the Rambam has, if one would say that God is a physical being. What's a very interesting question is it possible, granted that God doesn't have a physical body, but is it possible for God to assume a physical body? Can God take on a physical body and walk our world if he wants to? He doesn't have a body, but can he? Ah, very good. So, the Rambam, I think that's what he might mean when he says here that God doesn't have a body, lo mitzad atzmus, velo b'mikra. It means, essentially, he's not a body. That's his atzmus. His essence is not a body. But even b'mikra, he doesn't have a body. He can't even temporarily assume the form of a body. And this the Rambam writes explicitly in Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam says that as a creator, he can't make himself into a creation. Why not? Because, and the way the Rambam says it is, right, I guess let's start with this. What's the obvious question on saying that God can't make himself into a body? That means God can't do something. Right? You remember as a kid, you used to ask that question, can God create a rock that he can't lift? If God can do anything, so he can create anything. So he should be able to create a rock that he can't lift. But he can do anything, so he can lift it. So how can he create a rock that he can't lift? Isn't that limiting him? Right? It's like a question you used to ask. So the question here is it a limitation of God to say that he can't assume a physical body? One might say, yes, that's limiting God. And there is a famous... it's not super famous, but there is a known essay called Tav Tamim, written by in the Zman of the Rishonim by Rav Moshe Taku, where Rav Moshe Taku, one of the Balei Tosfos, seems to say that God might have a body. Seems to say God might have a body. It hasn't really been published. It's in Kisrayad. I actually, when I was in YU, in the YU library, I got myself a copy of it and I tried to read through parts of it. And there certainly were parts of it where it sounded like he was saying God had a body. Although there were many parts where it sounded like he was just bothered by the fact to say that God can't have a body. That if he wants to have a body, he can't assume a body. So whether Rav Moshe Taku holds, and he was a Das Yochid, that God does have a body, or whether he holds that God can assume a body if he wants to, we understand where that's coming from. Because we don't want to limit God. How can we say God can't assume a body? So, how can the Rambam say God can't assume a body? So what the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim is that it's not lacking, it's not applying, listen to this point, it's not giving God a lacking, a chisaron, to say that he can't assume a body. Why? Because the definition of God, as God, is that he's not physical, because he's beyond space, he's beyond time. So if the definition of God is that he's not physical, to say that he can't assume a body is not taking away from him. That's the definition of God. So if you say that he can assume a body, you're basically saying that he's not God. Because God, by definition, cannot be physical. So to say that he, it's like saying, the way that he sort of says it there, is that a creator, if you are the creator of everything, oh, so can you become a creation? No, you can't become a creation, because the definition of the creator is that he makes the creations. So it's not lacking to say that he can't assume a body. That's what the Rambam wants to say in Mor Nevuchim. That the definition of God is that he's not physical, and therefore to say that he can't assume physicality is not a lack. This is discussed in other early Svarim of Machshava, the Shomer Emunah Makadmon, the Ramak of Moshe Karavero also discusses this idea. And as Maury mentioned a second ago, the Ramban writes in his Sefer Bikuach, which was his debates with the Christians, that this is the Ikur Machlokas we have with the Christians. I'll actually tell you, I was sitting on a plane a week and a half ago, coming from Florida to LaGuardia Airport in New York, and the lady next to me on the plane was a born-again Christian. And the guy next to her was a Roman Catholic. And the two of them were discussing in Yone Christianity, you know, are having machloksim about certain things. And at one point, they turned to me and they said, well, what do you think about all this? So I said, you know, hey, I have to break it to you. I really just think that he was just a guy. And he died. And he's been dead for a long time. And there's really nothing to talk about anymore. I said, you know, we like to go straight up to the... We go straight to God. We don't deal with these intermediaries in between. So she said, don't you realize, though, that he is God? And he walked the earth for us? So I said, I'll tell you the truth. From our perspective, saying that he walked the earth as a human is the absolute greatest disrespect that you can give to God. God, by definition, is a spiritual being. He's not spiritual. He's beyond spirituality. He's beyond our world. And he can't, and he wouldn't ever assume or can't assume a body because his definition is that he's not physical. So this point is obviously a major point of contention between Christianity and the truth of Judaism. So she, you know, she had her shitas, you know. I was trying to, you know, I knew I wasn't going to convince her, and I knew she wasn't going to convince me, and I saw right away from the discussion that she wasn't interested in hearing a different perspective. She was interested in telling me her perspective. So that was the entire flight. It was actually interesting because I opened up my Gemara, and I started learning. And she took out, and it's funny, I don't know if she did it because she saw me, but like right away, like when we started the plane, I took out my Gemara, I started learning, and all of a sudden she reached into her bag and she pulled out like, she had like some Bible sheets about like, you know, something about like Bible readings. So she started, we had, she was like a base mandrush right there. So yeah, no, it wasn't a chavrusa, that's for sure, it wasn't a chavrusa. But, so I want to make one other point before I take Maury's question. In terms of that question of that philosophic question, can God create a rock that he can't create? So I thought of another possible just answer to this question. The answer that the Rambam certainly gives is that no, God does not assume a body. I thought, and again, this could be like a little bit of like a shticky play on words, but whenever I think about that question of can God create a rock that he can't exist, I think the answer is as follows. Can God create a rock that he can't exist? Yes. Can he lift it? Yes. But what do you mean? It's a rock that he can't exist. Yes. That he can't create. Sorry. Can God create a rock that he can't lift? Yes. Can he lift it? Yes. But it's a rock that he can't lift. Yes. Meaning, God's beyond us. We don't necessarily understand. And God is able to do everything. So God's able to lift it. Oh, how can he lift it? It's a rock that he can't lift? You're right. We don't necessarily understand all these things. How can God know what's going to happen before... What was that? In other words, there's a definite. That's exactly the point. The point is, No. That's exactly the point. That the reason why we get stuck when we're trying to understand God is because we try to understand God based on our... We try to understand God based on our perception of things. So the answer is God can do everything. So God can create anything. God can lift anything. So can he create... The only reason we're stuck on this question is because in our world, a rock that you can't lift can't be lifted. But God's not limited, so God can do anything. So let's say it like this. God can lift non-liftable rocks. Really, how does he do that? I don't know how he does it, but he's God, so he can do whatever he wants. And that would be another direction that we can go in order to address this question. The Rambam, though... Hold on, the Rambam writes, though, in that piece of Mor Nevuchim, that this whole idea of God not having a body is something that's very important with the chinuch of children. It's very important that we're not mechanech our children that God is some guy sitting on a throne up in Shemayim, we talk about the Kisei HaKavod. Kids should not think that there's this big chair floating around in heaven and there's this man with this long white beard sitting on a throne in heaven, you know, holding that like gold scepter thing and like, you know, shooting things down to earth. All these terms that we use, Kisei HaKavod, and that God has a Pamal Yishamala, these are not physical descriptions. These are terms that we use in order to understand something. Kisei HaKavod is a spiritual idea. We use the idea of a throne because that's how we relate to things, because our interaction is with kings. But these things are not physical.
How is it described? It's not physical.
Everything that's described... this is actually an excellent introduction for the Rambam I'd like to read right now. So let's take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Jeremy, as we read this, don't think that I'm calling you an apikoros. Chamisha hein hanikroim minim. There are five people who are called minim, heretics. Ha'omer she'ein sham Eloah. Those who say there's no God. V'ein li'olam manhig. Or those who say that God doesn't run the world. V'ha'omer she'esh sham manhig aval hein shnayim o yoser. Or people who say that there is a person running the world, but there are two of them or more. V'ha'omer she'esh sham ribon echad. Or those who say that there is one God, aval shu guf ubal tamuna, but he is physical. We'll skip now to the Sagas HaRavid. Says the Ravid, the Rambam just said that you're considered an apikores and you lose olam haba if you think God has a body. Amar Avram, v'lama karal zemin. Why does the Rambam call this guy a heretic? Kama gedolim v'tovim mimenu. This is like a real shtach. There are many people who are a lot greater than him, holchu b'zah machshava, who thought this, lefi mashiro b'mikros, based on the psukim that they saw, v'yosemi mashiroi b'divrei agados, and even more so, from what they saw in Chazal, hamishabshos esadas, that many times if you don't understand Chazal properly, it messes up your thinking and it confuses you and it perverts your perception of the truth. So says the Ravid, there were plenty of people, good people, who thought that God has a body, and therefore he's cholik on the Rambam regarding this issue. So the question is, what does the Ravid mean here? I'm going to give you three possible explanations of the Ravid. One, maybe the Ravid argues in the Rambam and thinks God has a body. The Rambam says God doesn't have a body, and the Ravid argues and says, what are you talking about? Look at the Psukim. The Psukim show you that God has a body. And that's what Jeremy was referring to. Look, there's Psukim. It says God spoke, God came down, God went up, God has a throne. So all of these Psukim and Midrashim, they all make it sound like God's physical. That's one possible shot in the Ravid, although it doesn't sound like it, because the Ravid says there were people who thought this based on Psukim and Chazals that confuse you if you don't understand them properly. So it sounds like the Ravid thinks that's confusion. So what's another possible shot in the Ravid? Not that the Ravid thinks God has a body. The Ravid agrees with the Rambam that God doesn't have a body. But maybe the Ravid is saying that this isn't one of the Ikari Emuna. Listen, I agree with you, Rambam, that God doesn't have a body. But this is not one of the Ikari Emuna. You don't lose Olam Haba if you mistakenly think, based on reading Psukim, that God has a body. And that's how Rav Shimshon of Al Hirsch explains this Ravid. That's how the Akedah explains this Pasuk. And the Rav Shimshon of Al Hirsch writes that the reason is because there's no real nafkamina in terms of your Avodas Hashem. There's no actual nafkamina whether God has a body or not, in terms of Avodas Hashem. And therefore, right, if you think there's two gods, that is a big nafkamina. You're going to start praying to two different things. If you think God doesn't exist, that's a big nafkamina. But whether God has a body or not, that's not really, you're not going to like spend your life like searching after God's body. So it doesn't have a major nafkamina, and therefore the Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch is saying that the Ravid's being cholek on the Rambam, not about whether God has a body, about whether it's an ikker. There is another, because the Rambam believes that in order to have a relationship with God, there are certain basic facts about God that you have to understand clearly. And even if it doesn't have a nafkamina for avoda, if you don't have the right machshavos and you don't have the right perception, you can never develop a relationship with God if you don't have the right perception of who He is. There is a third pshat in this Ravid, and that, you want to say what it is?
I think because he's writing times when Christianity was like at top, like at its peak, so it's like on purpose, like he's just like, on purpose, for sure God doesn't have a body right now.
Who, the Rambam, you're saying?
Rambam.
Oh, okay, you're saying why the Rambam made this such a big deal.
Yeah.
It's true.
Okay.
If we want to play the historical game, though, that it's because of historical things, then I'll tell you that the Rambam lived in Muslim lands. He didn't live in Christian lands. The major confrontation was not Christianity, it was actually Islam. And they are monotheists, and they don't believe either. So I hear why you want to go in that direction, but there are other factors then that would impact that. And also generally, we like to assume that the Rishonim are beyond, even if the Rambam was confronting Christianity, we would think that he's giving these Ikare Emuna based on what he believes is the emes, not just based on what he needs to say in order to, operate in his own. He's greater than his own time period. So that's something always to keep in mind whenever we're talking historical elements. There's another pshat in the Rambam. It could be that in the Ravid. It could be the Ravid agrees with the Rambam that God has a body, that God doesn't have a body. And he agrees with the Rambam that it's an ikker. He just thinks that making a mistake in Ikare Emuna doesn't make you into a heretic. God doesn't have a body. And this is one of the Ikare Emuna. But if someone gets to an ikker, if someone makes a mistake about an ikker based on an accident, based on reading psukim wrong, you don't become a heretic for that. You're wrong, but you're not an apikoros. So three possible pshatim in the Ravid. Either the Ravid argues God does have a body. Option number two, he agrees with the Rambam that God doesn't have a body, but he doesn't think this is one of the Ikare Emuna. Or he agrees with the Rambam that God doesn't have a body, and he thinks it's one of the Ikare Emuna, but he doesn't think you become a heretic for making a mistake about one of the Ikare Emuna. And that's how the Abar Benel learns up this Ravid. Lamaisa, and that last explanation that I told you, so I heard B'Shem Rav Shlomo Fisher, that's how he learns that that's the Pashtus in this Ravid. Lamaisa, what caused people to make mistakes? As Jeremy already noted, what caused people to make mistakes are the many psukim and chazals that seem to describe all these physical things, like thrones, and body, eyes of God, Einei Hashem, God came down. And that's why it's very, very important to realize that all of these psukim are just metaphoric. One of the major people, and the Rambam writes this, it's all mashal and melitza. It's metaphors. One of the major people to do this and to drive this point home is Unklus. I want you to try to be aware of this from now on whenever you're reading a pasuk. Whenever you read a pasuk that sounds like it's saying that God has something physical about him, go look at Unklus. And Unklus, almost always, there's one place in the Torah where he doesn't do it, and for a very specific reason. But almost always, Unklus tries as hard as he can to distance Hagshama. Hagshama means anthropomorphism. Familiar with that term? Anthropomorphism means giving God human qualities. And there's another even fancier word, anthropopathic terms are giving God human emotions. So anthropomorphism would be like saying that God has a body. Anthropopathic terms would be like saying that God gets angry. God doesn't get angry. What do you mean? It says, Vayicharaf Hashem, Hashem got angry. Those are just terms that we can relate to the idea of God being, again, even the term disappointment. God doesn't get disappointed. He doesn't get angry. He doesn't get happy. He doesn't change. Humans change. Sometimes we're happy. Sometimes we're sad. God doesn't change. God is. So when we say God got angry, that's just to describe something about our relationship with Him. There's distance in our relationship. God doesn't get angry, just like God doesn't have a body. So This is that's just emes, what I told you. And the unklus is the one who stresses this a lot. So take a look at the bottom of the page. Vayered Hashem liros es ha'ir v'yasa migdal. What's this pasuk? Migdal Babel. Hashem came down. What do you mean he came down? That makes it sound like, oh, God has a house in heaven, and he's usually in his house, but somebody called him that there's something going on down on earth. So he packed his bags, he put on his shoes, and he went down to earth to go see what happened. So what does Unklus say? V'izgalei Hashem. There was some type of revelation of God's glory. Not that God went down. God doesn't go down. That implies that he was up and now he's going down. So you'll notice, and I just pulled one example. Next time you're doing Shnayim Mikra, whenever there's a term about God, if it says Vayichar Af Hashem, go look at what Unklus says. Okay. Let's just conclude with this. Let's read the Ani Mamin and the Yigdal and just see how they express things. Ani Mamin Be'emuna Shalema Shabor Yisborach Shemo Eno Guf Lo Yasigulu Masige HaGuf. Things of the body don't affect him. V'ein lo shum dimyon klal. And therefore, there's nothing about him that's similar to us. Nothing that we can relate to. And in Yigdal, ein lo dumus haguf. He has no form of body. V'ein lo guf, because he isn't physical. Lo naruch elov kedusha. So, naruch means to compare. And there's no comparison to his kedusha. And again, what does kedusha mean? Set aside and different and unique.